Welcome to the Heart Matters Podcast with your host, Ibn Leon. Join us as we explore the intricacies of spirituality and self-improvement. Gain a fresh perspective on enhancing your spiritual, emotional, and mental well-being through the fusion of spirituality and self-improvement. Enjoy Ibn's engaging conversations with guests from diverse backgrounds. They share unique perspectives on personal growth and holistic health. From spiritual leaders to relationship experts, entrepreneurs to creatives, each episode delivers knowledge and inspiration. Tune into the Heart Matters Podcast for profound conversations and practical advice, empowering you to live your best life. Chapter 5, Inspiring Stories. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Heart Matters Podcast. I am your host, relationship coach Lewis Morris. It is my belief that the vessel, meaning the heart, can only pour out that which it contains. Therefore, it is upon us to place those things that are good and beneficial into the vessel in order to emanate them out into the world and attract those people and those things into our lives that will enhance it. We have another smart guest on the Heart Matters. Not that we ever have dumb guests on. We don't. Hunt Etheridge is here, and I know many of you probably heard of Hunt. Hunt is an award-winning international dating and relationship expert. He is also the founder of the Matchmaking Business Academy. We're going to talk a little bit about that. He has over 15 years of experience in matchmaking and in the relationship field, where he emphasizes confidence building, leadership, image and style, conversation skills, creating chemistry, and reconnecting with fun. He has also been featured in over 100 different media outlets, including CNN, The New York Times, Playboy, and GQ. Welcome Hunter Etheridge to the Heart Matters, everyone. How are you doing, Hunt? You all right?
Good. Yeah. Glad to be here.
All right. So let's start with this Matchmaking Business Academy. Let's start there. You know, when did you put this together, and what is it about?
Sure. Well, so my business partner and I, Carmelia Ray, who you may have seen on Clubhouse and everywhere
else.
I've
tried to reach out to her and I've gotten crickets.
She is like me in the fact that we both have ADD and we both have a million projects. So even for our own selves, trying to nail ourselves down for meetings sometimes is a challenge, which we've been friends for probably about 10 years now. And we always got along and knew we wanted a partner and do something together, but we weren't sure what it is. And we also knew both of our organizational styles. So we were, you know, making sure we were ready for the right move. And about 2 years ago, we both had a mentee that each of us had mentored separately that approached us, and she was the organized one. She's like, hey, I've got an idea. Why don't we do this thing? You know, as she listened to a lot of us, we're like, oh, it's a good idea, because between Carmelia and myself, we have either taken or created every single training that's out there and more. And because we're always trying to better ourselves and learn more and bring new skills and things into it. And then we started getting the approaches like, could I buy you a coffee? Could I take you out for a drink? Could I pick your mind? And people that would take other courses and then say, hey, I tried to approach them about things that are just horribly out of date and they just weren't listening to me. Could you guys do some stuff with us? So we're like, all right, This is a good idea, because after, you know, I think between she and I now, we have something bordering on 40 to 50 combined years of experience. So like, you know what, this is a good time to add our voices to the mix too, because we just want to help more people. And obviously the last 2 years have been difficult, especially you know, sometimes even more so for those that are single, because all the things we took for granted and how to meet people disappeared. And even our own social muscles are starting to atrophy. Like, we hang out with people, I'm like, not really sure how to act anymore. So it's these added extra challenges that have come onto it. So we just want to create the next generation of love bringers and light givers and stuff. So we're excited. We just like being, because anything is good for the industry. If we can help more people help more people, then it only helps more people. So my tagline is changing the world one smile at a time. Mm-hmm. And I think we're working on some taglines for the Matchmaking Business Academy, but kind of want to say, like, start your next chapter so you can help others start theirs. So it's a great, it makes me happy, because if I'm successful, more people will be happy. Can't argue with that.
Okay. Yeah, you can't argue with that one. Okay, so how did you get started with all this? The dating and relationship. How did you walk through this door?
Sure. So it all starts with, I like people. And I like to help people, and I like to connect people. And I like to, you know, I've always been like one of those card collectors. You meet someone, they're like, oh, I'm a zookeeper. And I'm like, I have no idea how I can help you, but I'm going to hold on to this card, because in 5 years, I'm going to run into a sloth specialist, and I'm going to be like, oh, you guys got to like connect. So I always liked connecting people in any sort of a way, regardless. And as I liked people, 50% of people, or depending on how we want to phrase that these days, are women. So I enjoy spending time, you know, with the opposite sex. And
you too? Yeah, because I do too.
Not too bad.
Yeah, and not bad at all.
For a while, well, I was an actor for a while, and the word that we heard the most was no. And at the beginning, I heard was, you're not attractive enough, fit enough, tall enough, you know, whatever. What it really meant is, you're just not right for the role. And I might have been the most attractive, tallest, fittest person that walked in that day, but it just didn't fit. So what felt very personal wasn't personal at all. They knew nothing about me. And then I started to realize that was a lot of the same thing in dating. Like, if you go up to someone and it doesn't go the way you want it, what did you actually lose? 7 seconds. The rest of it's in our mind. Doesn't mean that it isn't there. Doesn't mean that it's not hard to get over, but it's that we get to choose how we want to feel about it. And the result is not the way you want it, we use large words in our own brain. I got rejected. I failed. We create this pain in our head when really it was just a non-starter. And if you learn that it has nothing to do with you personally, then I can say, okay, cool. Have a great night. And I can go talk to somebody else. And you can do that with everybody in the place. And it doesn't have to be a dating thing. It's like, let's see if we have a connection and talk and chat, and things can go from there. So I was able to detach that feeling of personal rejection or failure. Because again, those words are just big and we use them and they're not even the right words. So because I didn't really have this fear anymore, or let things roll off, I had no fear of kind of jumping into situations to see what could happen, what I could learn from. About 15, 16, 17 years ago, I was going to a therapist for various and sundries. And she told me, the men that can walk in here are broken and I can fix them. But the thing that they want the most is to have a woman by their side, and I can't give them that. You know more about this than anybody I've ever met. You need to figure out a way to monetize this. And the minute you do, I'll refer all of my patients to you. So that's at least what started the research. Like, do I know more about this? Is it teachable? Is it an art? Is it a science? Can you break it down? All that kind of stuff. Because also at that time, the only people that were around were pickup artists, and I loathe them. And so trying to find that distinction between them. And at this point, online dating was considered taboo. Like, it was your last ditch effort. If nothing else in your life had worked. So it took me many years of trying to figure it out and work on it and put it together and joining some firms and watching the trends and learning things. And you know, now after so long, it has been wonderfully fascinating and interesting to witness all of the advent of online, the advent of mobile, Now I've become friends with many of the authors of the books that I read, of relationship books. So it's fun to have these larger conversations with them and create a larger picture, because really at the end of the day, it's really only about human dynamics. How to be a better human in general is going to make you a better dater. So it's a lot of just working exactly what you said at the beginning of this. When in order to be interesting, you have to be interested in something. You have to be able to give something out. If you have nothing to give out, then why am I going to be drawn to you? Hmm. And so getting that mental switch, kind of, it's not about me finding more dates, because that could make you chase something or go after it as the goal. Instead, the goal is to turn yourself into someone that's so interesting and dynamic, it draws people to you. So.
Okay, all right. Now let's talk about these pickup artists. Yeah, because I don't like them either. I'm not a fan. Yeah. I'm gonna put that out there right now. I'm not a fan of them at all. A couple of them have reached out to me to be on my show and, you know, this and that. I said, listen, you know, you have to come on and talk about a real relationship that you had.
Yeah.
Not girls you pick. Don't come. You can't. This is not what we do here.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying?
My own phrase? The point of being a player is to win the game. I won. So
yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah, but they think winning is, you know, getting notches on their belt, for lack of a better term. That's what they define as winning. So what I'm saying is that when they reach out to me, I mentioned to them, I say, listen, if you come on the show, you have to talk about a meaningful relationship that you actually had, where you actually felt something for the person, you know? And, you know, I haven't, you know, they haven't really, they, after that, I didn't hear anything.
Yeah.
It bothers me. So, I mean, what has been your experience with the pickup artists?
Well, I get, kind of what you're saying about, like, feeling successful, it was a weird thing for me as well too when online dating started getting more prevalent.
Yeah.
Let's say I'd have a client that would get 4 first dates in a month and 1 second date. Okay, so 25% ratio to get to the second date. Then when online came out, they'd have 25 first dates in a month and 1 second date. So their win ratio plummeted, but they had more dates, so they felt more successful, not seeing that they were actually doing worse, but they were just happy that someone was sitting across from them. They didn't, so they looked at success as the number of dates, not the quality or what you were learning from them or whether it was going to develop into a relationship or something like that too. So finding each benchmark to success is difficult. And for me, the pickup artist game, it's more about competition among bros than it is anything about the women. And it's all about short-term gain at the expense of humanity. So yeah, I read all of them, and the book, The Game, was great. It was entertaining and fun and interesting. And there are nuggets in there that you can expound on that aren't incorrect. But it was like they would spend most of their time talking to each other, comparing stories, than they were actually with the women. So it was like the goal was to have something to talk to the guys about, not actually being with the women. And it was just ridiculous to me. And then when you want to say, get on negging and pardon my friend, shit like that, like the goal should be in every relationship to make each other feel good, you know? And of course that's wishful thinking, and I understand that, but messing with people's sense of self-worth to try to knock them off their game so that you can scoop them up when they're feeling vulnerable, not for me.
All right, so they're going out on these dates, and then they go to their guys, their dudes, and they sit around and talk about with their dudes what happened on the dates or whether they scored with the woman, for lack of a better term. This is what they're bringing, what they're coming with.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, guys, you're sitting around, you know, drinking, talking about your successes, but you're sitting around talking to yourself, each other. So not really sure if you've got the, but again, each person has their own definition of success. So it depends. You can't, it's hard to put on the templates as well too, because as a 25-year-old guy, I had a very different set of success measures than I do as a 45-year-old man. So what's sad is when you see like the 45-year-old guy acting like the 25-year-old guy. It's like, yeah, that's
okay. All right, so how often do you see this? Older guy behaving like the younger guy when it comes to dating and relationships?
I see it fairly, I wouldn't say too often, because the people that come to me are at least self-aware enough that they want help. They want to improve. I joke, it's all the guys that don't need me that really need me the most, because they think that what they're doing is working. When, you know, they're going up and, you know, talking to a group of women and being this bombastic, this person, and they talk to all these girls and they get, you know, three phone numbers out of the night, not realizing that many times those phone numbers were given to the guy so he would leave them alone and go away. So they may get more phone numbers, but those are low quality phone numbers because they didn't really make that connection. Like, if you walk, like so many of my guy clients, and again, this is from the pickup community, their gold ticket or their brass ring is being able to stop a woman on the street, talk to her and get their phone number. I'm like, first, no. Second of all, you get in front of someone's face in New York City, you might not survive the encounter. Two, nobody is gonna think that this is a great meet cute. And they, and three, they know the only reason you approach them is pure physicality, which isn't great. You know, so they know that it has nothing to do with their personality that you are talking to them. So they're just like, whatever. Whereas if you had spent time talking to someone at a bar or party or something like that, then you talk to them for an hour, you only get one phone number of the night, but it's a high quality phone number because you'd spent time connecting with that person, creating chemistry. That person's going to want to see you more too. So, you know, again, you just see people trying to decide what their valuation of success is. And a lot of people at, you know, in the 20s, guys in their 20s here in New York City aren't really looking for anything too serious because we're at a, there's five women to every three guys here. And so there's an overabundance. There's every flavor that you could possibly imagine. There are a bunch of progressive and liberal people with open ideas and new experiences around every quarter. So there's definitely a lot of that exploration here that, that might not occur in middle America at the same time too. So, and that's fine as long as both people are on the same page. For instance, one of the things I have found that my ladies struggle with here is many times they are, and I'm not saying this to any detriment, career focused and things like that. So they get into, say, their mid-30s or something like that. And like, okay, now maybe it's time to start thinking about your babies, relationship, things like that. And because they were a beautiful woman, they learned from age puberty to keep men, you know, at a healthy distance, except when they like someone and then they could open their walls and let that person in. Now at 35 or 40, they have realized that they've actually never learned the skills to draw anyone in. They learned the skills to be present and to allow themselves to be seen. But as we change fishing markets, if you will, you need a new set of skills. And a lot of these women have never learned, how do I go out and find what I want? How do I learn to attract what I want to me as opposed to just standing in the corner and waiting for something to happen? So it's really interesting watching all these dynamics between the men and women shift and change over the decade and a half.
Mm. All right, so let's talk about the definition of success. Let's talk about that.
Yes.
How do we redefine for people what success looks like in the dating realm? How do we do that?
Well, what I say, I'm biased because I'm in this world, in this industry, but what is success without someone next to you to share it with? You know, what fun is having fun things if you've got no one fun to share it with? And one, also, the line from Jerry Maguire that I hate is the old, you complete me. So nay, I say, you need to be complete. So that person is not there to fill any sort of a hole. You need to be complete before that person wants to join you, because it's all about riding shotgun with each other on life and enjoying it, and not becoming codependent or not finding someone that fills an empty hole in you. And then also we individuals, men or women, need to define up to ourselves, what is it that we want? And pulling apart wants and needs are very difficult for people, trying to understand the core of it. Like, for instance, a woman, maybe 5'3 and earning 75K, and she says, I need a man that's over 6 feet tall, and I need a man that earns over 150K. No, you don't. You want those things, but you need a man that makes you feel safe and secure and feminine. You need a guy that understands power, drive, success, and is, you know? So it's not necessarily those two things, but I get, but so we need to find those core values, because the thing, differences, would say opposites attract, opposite interests attract, because then you have things to learn from each other. Opposite values do not attract. And so I think we spend so much more time on our interests than we do on our values, that we don't see possible problem areas. Phrase I heard in the last year that I like is, if you're looking at the world through rose-colored glasses, all red flags just look like flags. So when you're in that honeymoon phase, you kind of brush stuff off because, that's fine, it'll get better, or doesn't bother me too much, or whatever else we say to ourselves. And we focus more on what type of music do you like and what type of movies do you like, as opposed to what was your family structure growing up? How do you like to use dispensable money when you have it? What does a future look like in your eyes? And again, you don't have to come in wild with those big questions right there, but let me see if I have, I got all my books up here right now too. There's a book called, oh yeah, there it is. The Hard Questions, basically. And they're questions that everybody should ask each other as you're getting into more serious relationships. Like, what do I like about my family of origin? What do I dislike? You know, want to find what did you do? What did your parents do that messed you up? And what did they do that you want to emulate? You know, that's where you're going to find out if you have the matching value systems. But I think that people, many times men and many times in different communities, are taught not to have these conversations, are taught to be stoic, are taught to deal with it, are taught to not reach out. And so not only do they may not have the original information taught to them, but they don't know how to find these resources, or even that these resources are important to them. So you know, that's part of my goal, just in general over the course of my lifetime, is to help men, because we have, there is a man problem in that, because we have not necessarily been taught how to regulate our emotions and work on them and ask for help when we need them. The only two people in our lives many times that we can rely on for emotional help are our mothers and our significant others. And that's a lot of emotional burden to put on someone else. And we as men need to learn to support each other so that we do not have to rely on our women to be our sole source of, you know, emotions to them too. So, and that's tough too, because I know that sometimes women will say, I want a man that is open with his emotions. I want a man that can talk about his fears. And then you do, and it's weaponized against you in the future during a fight. So what does that tell a man? Shut down. I can't have that success because I was dinged when I tried to do it. So that's why it's important to find ways or types of questions that you can do that can be more fun to start to determine some of these value systems so you can figure out if you guys are compatible in those ways. Like, for instance, I know a lot of people may not have grown up in the best of familial situations. And when you're getting to know each other, you might ask someone like, so do you have brothers or sisters? And like, no, actually my parents left me when I was young. And you're like, oh crap, now that person feels bad, but I didn't know because I didn't know what to ask. Whereas you could ask things like, what were holidays like as a kid for you? And then you'll hear like, my family and I used to decorate for a month before Christmas. Okay, they've got a good relationship with their family. You know, and none of these are good, bad, and different pluses or negatives. You just need information to understand if you guys can match like this. And like I said, I think that, and like this honeymoon period, biologically, chemically, usually lasts for between 6 months and 18 months. And then it moves in from like the fireworks into the mature love. And if you have not done some of the work to figure out if you guys are compatible during this time, or overlooked what you think were smaller issues like sexual incompatibility, they're only gonna get exacerbated once the serotonin and dopamine levels start to taper off. So I think that so many people aren't, just coast during this time a little bit and not necessarily focus on what it is that they want. I mean, it's hard to figure out what our end goals is for jobs, for work, for personal relationships. Those are difficult questions to ask. Where do I want this to go? And, you know, I think that it's also hard because so many people look at only the end goal. For instance, the purpose of a first date is to get a second date. Purpose of a second date is to get a third date. Purpose of a third date is to get into a relationship. Purpose of a relationship is to get into a monogamous relationship. You know, those steps can, you know, travel weirdly and meander. But if we go on a first date looking for our future soulmate, not only is that a lot of pressure to put on it, but we're looking way towards the future. And this person might be a person that would enjoy a second date with you. But if you sit and talk about why didn't any of your relationships work out? Do you have any kids? Like, you just bring crashing that energy right at the beginning that could allow you to build on things and build a relationship together, at least build a foundation. So that when you can start unloading each other's baggage, because we all have baggage, you have a foundation to rely on, a connection to rely on, a bond, so that you're not immediately prejudging and disqualifying people for large statements on a first date that should be made a little bit further down the line. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. All right, I just want to stay on the men for a minute, because you know, I got this program coming up, the Manhood Cultivation Project. So I'm going to stay on the men for a minute because, you know, men, we need help. It's like you mentioned. All right. So how do we help the men deal with these underlying issues?
I think for me, one of the ways that I at least work with my clients is to work with the word intent. One of the things that men have is that we're chasers or hunters. We see something we want, whatever it is, like, what is the quickest way to get the thing that I want? And that works out well for us most of the time too. But when we see this woman and then we just run towards it, it's a lot of energy coming right at you. And the man may not realize he's doing anything wrong. For instance, like, I even work with physicality, because if you see a person, or you say you're talking to a person at a house party and you're totally into them, the more into a person you are, the more squared off to them you become. You face your energy. But if you come up to a girl and like, hi, how you doing? My name's Hunt. What's up? You look really pretty tonight. Like, whoa, that's a lot of energy. Because her intent is to get, find out, learn about this person. But in that intent, it can, you know, sabotage them. So what I try to do at the beginning is to just remove that intent. For instance, how would you start a conversation with your friend's grandmother? What energy are you coming into with that energy? Like, oh, this is a great party. Who do you know here? I actually met Tom back in high school. Are you friends with him too? That tonality, I could ask you that question in the same tone, a grandmother or a female. And because I'm sort of removing that sexual intent, if you will, now we can enter into a conversation. And then that conversation can be built on. And even if you even notice, I'm sort of at a 45 degree angle or just looking at someone. Even if two guys are talking to each other and they're good friends, like, I'm not going to be talking to you and looking at you in the eye, squared off to you. We're going to be looking at something and looking at over our shoulder and kind of chatting like this too. So it's trying to, I call that sense memory, in that when you're out with friends or people that you're very comfortable with, like, look around and memorize what your body's doing. How are you holding yourself? How are you sitting? What type of conversations are you having? Are you busting each other's balls? Are you interrupting each other? Are you going around in a circle? Because whatever you're doing, that's where you're comfortable. And so the hard part is then when you're meeting people for the first time or in a slightly more uncomfortable situation, is try to replicate that same body language, tonality, style, because it's showcasing that you are comfortable. You'll still feel that, like, faking it till you make it. But there's all the studies show that once you put your body into a physical shape, the mind follows usually. You stand up straight, you throw your chest out, you feel better about yourself. You curl in on yourself like this, you feel closed off. So when you can start trying to enter into conversations as opposed to pick up someone, I think that'll be a good first step. Because once they realize that you're just interested in a connection, first of all, no guy's going to talk to you if he's not physically attracted to you. So if he's talking to you, you're good. And if he's asking you questions about getting to know you better, then that's definitely going to create more of a bond. They want, oh, this person's interested in me, not just a couple of parts of my body. I would like to know more. And then what we do, I mean, the unfortunate thing that most guys do, and women are guilty, but guys more so because our dating IQ is lower, is we go in with a dating interview. Sit down. So what do you do? Where are you from? Were you married before? Do you have kids? What's your family like? What would you do if you won the lottery? I don't know, whatever, you know, you just go through the stupid standard questions. And all these questions are logical questions. And we're asking logical questions and expecting an emotional result. And that doesn't jive. So with all of my clients, male or female, what I encourage them is to ask positive emotional questions. Instead of saying, what do? You say, what do you like best about your job? Instead of saying, where did you grow up? What is one thing you loved to do as a kid? Instead of saying, what movies do you like? Say, what was your most amazing cinematic experience? You're going to get the same information. But the way that, in order for them to answer your question, they have to tap into those happy memories. And if they start tapping into those happy memories and happy emotions, and you're responsible for making those emotions come out, then the feelings of positivity and the feelings of you start to become intertwined. And going back to that whole thing about the goal in relationships, any sort of relationship, to make each other feel good, compliments are low-hanging fruit. They're needed and they're necessary, but they can accidentally come across as insincere or generic or over the top or what have you. The real goal is in making someone feel good about themselves. So when you can ask someone, what was your proudest moment at work? Oh, wow. They in turn get to feel pride. And if there's more people around, like in a group setting, you're giving them the ability to brag and talk about themselves in a way that's going to put them in a positive light. And that's going to make them feel good about themselves. They're going to be happy that you made them feel that way. And everybody else in the group raises their emotions as well. So again, we've got to focus back on ourselves. Would you date you? Is what I ask a lot of my guys. Like, what do you bring to the table? We in dating, it's all about value. Let me show you the value I have, and let me explore if you have the same types of value that I have. And so men need to add more value sometimes to their propositions. Like if I go up and talk to somebody at a party and like, you know, what'd you do this weekend? Like, I watched some Netflix and goofed around on some video games. You know, or you go up to someone else. What did you do this weekend? Oh, well, you know, I've been bored during the pandemic and I realized that I used to paint back in middle school. So I joined this online wine and paint group and I've gone through 6 bottles and 24 canvases and all about the same they look. So not going so great. Oh, what medium are you using? It just makes me want to interact with you because you're bringing something to the table. If you're not bringing anything to the table, then I don't have anything to find out my value system for you. If you're not offering me anything, then I don't know if we have anything, you know, in connection with each other. So I think it's not only takes time to learn how to bring that out in other people, but in a healthy way to showcase yourself as well too. And one of the ways that we do that is to tell stories too, because you know what, if you had ridden a roller coaster in all 50 states, I don't know to ask that because it's just a random fact and there's no way I'd be able to ask you a question where you would be able to share that. So instead, what do we do when we're hanging around friends? We share. Dude, Lewis, you are not gonna guess what happened to me like 20 minutes ago before I was getting ready for you. You didn't ask me a question because you didn't need to, because we're just sharing and being friendly with each other. So sometimes it's okay to do that same thing when you're talking with people. I know we get a lot of those things like, just ask women questions. Just ask them questions. They love talking about themselves. We all like to talk about ourselves. So when you can find a way, oh, you love roller coasters? Let me tell you about my favorite roller coaster story. And allow them and then share that. And then it's again, that's increasing your value. You're bringing more things to the table. Then they have more things to ask you about, more things to follow up on, and it creates more interest in you. More interest is more dopamine, is more chemistry, is more relationships. So.
All right, so do you primarily work with the guys or with the girls?
When I first started, it was primarily guys because women didn't need any help. Women know exactly what to do. Again, these are all preconceived, you know, incorrect emotions that we've all been learning over the last couple of years. Because guys were just trying to, how can I get this? How can I get this? And then online dating came out and all the men didn't go to the bars. They were at home online. And then I had a lot of women clients going, where are the guys? And then, so I had more female clients teaching them how to get online. And then the guys got tired of online and they're going back out again. And now the girls are all out there, but it's all the guys that were online that have no social muscles that are being ridiculous. So they need to learn. So it's, you know, it's going on all of these trends, but pretty much 50-50 down the line. What has been good is the age is steadily decreasing on average. You know, it used to be like dudes in their 40s, hit the end of the wall, end of my rope, got no other options. And now people are realizing at a much younger age, I am lacking in this particular area and I would like to fix that as soon as possible. Even my the words in my marketing change, like you're killing it at your job, you're staying fit, why not get the same edge in everything you're doing? Whereas previously, maybe 10 years ago, my messaging was, if you're broken, I can help fix you. Now it's, let me make you even better than you already are. And same for the women too. And all of these, like for instance, one of the particular challenges that we have right now is that 1982 was the last year that more men graduated college than women. And it's getting larger and larger each time. Advanced degrees are, the spread is wider and BIPOC's even larger. So a lot of these women are finding it difficult to let go of that dating up thing. And I'm trying to tell them there's no up anymore for you. Like you guys are here. Like the only person above you is the CEO. And you know what? He's married to his husband. So there's not those around anymore. Or I hear the phrase dating down, dude 30 years ago married his secretary, he didn't call that dating down. He called finding it a complementary match. Whereas today, I hear that phrase used a lot. I hear saying, I will not settle. I hear a lot of things like that from the ladies. And I blame Disney, part of it, and all these rom-coms that have been giving people incorrect information. And the men are just as a problem too, because at least women will search out information. You know, they have at least resources. Guys of a certain age growing up, we had Spike TV and Maxim. Not great ways of learning about relationships and things like that too. So I am glad that it's changing. I'm glad that more men are opening up and are able to kind of talk about more things. But I think it's really going to be interesting. The world is fine with interracial marriages. I'm in an interracial marriage, but what they're having a harder problem with is inter-class relationships, socioeconomic class. Because, you know, the women like that are crushing it here, they bring home a musician, their parents are saying, well, he's not gonna be able to provide for you. He's not good enough for you. He doesn't have a master's degree. Like, what? Yeah, but that wouldn't have been said if the situations were reversed. So there's a whole new paradigm coming out of how do we figure this out together? I think a lot of guys like the thought of it, but have harder time with the reality of it. Because even, let's go again, 30 years ago, again, overgeneralizing, oversimplifying things, but 30 years ago, you were married, you provided for your family, even if you were a cold dick to your kids, at least if you provided, you had your one job, you did it right, you were considered successful. So if this particular one role of provider is taken away, most men don't understand what their role in a relationship is. And so the onus is on the woman to let them know what it is. If I see a boss babe that seems like she's got it all, I don't see how I can fit in. I don't see that she needs me in any way. So I'm not necessarily going to approach her because I've got that hard sort of exterior up. So, you know, the men have to learn that it is not an emasculating thing to not make as much money, but they also need to be supported and know what role that they do have in a marriage. I was lucky, you know, I got this one time. My wife was out with the girls drinking. She's rolling in hot, whoosh, coming in the door from the night out. I'm sitting probably like in my bathrobe playing video games on the couch. No, super sexy. She comes in and just like tackles me and gives me this big hug on the couch. Hi, hey, great to see you. She's like, I was out with the girls and they were just talking about all their boyfriends and husbands and bitching and complaining about them. And like, it came around to me and I was like, he doesn't shower as often as I want, because I didn't have anything to say. And I just love that I know when I come home from anywhere that you're at my house and you love me so much. And I know that you'll always love me. And it makes me so happy that I'm always happy to come back to the house. Perfect. I know what my role is. I know what I'm bringing to the table. I know what makes you happy about being in a relationship with me. And my wife out-earns me. Why? Because I'm attracted to powerful women. But you have to figure out what that balance is. And I think that can be hard because there are certain, actually, there's a book I'm reading called Man Out right now, basically just about how a lot of men are feeling left out of society or actually withdrawing from society in general. And I got to find the exact quotes from it, but there are sort of like five things that men that make adults adults, job, family, kids, house, things like that. And more because of the society, the ability to have those things that make us an adult are disappearing. Can't buy a house. I'm in a dead end job. I don't really have a supportive family. So you start getting down there. And I think that a lot of people feel that if they can't do these other three things, that they'll hammer hard on the other areas of what it means to be a man or what it means to be an adult. And those aren't really healthy. things, but you know, we're trying to learn this as we go through as a society of how do we set up these relationships, men and women? How can we complement each other? How do we change the rules in order to bring out the best? And obvious, I mean, poets and philosophers have been working on this for millennia, so I don't think we're going to figure it out in the next 5 or 10 minutes. But at least if these are the questions we're trying to ask each other as a dater, ask oneself, that's going to make you much more open to learning more, finding out what's out there. I think that the more important, there's two important things. I'm going to grab two more books that I think are important as basics. The five love languages and attached. Attached is, what is our attachment style? How do we relate to others? Are we anxious? If our dad abandoned us, I might have an anxious attachment style because I'm worried about getting too close to someone because they might leave. And a whole bunch of different things. If you can understand where you come from, you can learn how to go forward and find what you want. And the love languages is, you know, for instance, if my love language is giving gifts, but my wife's love language is quality time, I may be doing what I think I should be doing and showering her with gifts, which she could care less about because I'm not spending any time with her, because I'm worried about getting gifts. We're both trying to show our love, but if we're not realizing how the other one is showing it, we're going to keep missing and may get frustrated with each other. So if you can understand how you like to receive love and how your partner likes to receive love, it can make that process so much easier. Because like men, sometimes we're doofuses because our main goal is we're fixers. She comes home from work, she says, my feet hurt. Guys, thinking they're doing the right thing, I'll take you out and get you some new shoes. That's not probably gonna go the way you want it to. Whereas the woman just wants to feel a connection. Oh, I'm so sorry that your feet feel that bad. It must be tough being on your feet all day. So, and sometimes, you know, as a man, when we're really thinking of something tough, we withdraw. We go into our head. We go into, they call it going into the cave to sort it out. Like, I need to figure it out before I'm ready to present it to my friends or anyone else. But the woman thinking she's doing what's right is trying to get in there and poke at you to help you pull it out. But if she keeps poking you, what's going to happen? The dragon's going to breathe fire. And that's not going to be good for the relationship, but she's only doing what she thinks she should be doing. So once you can learn a little bit, just the basics of how this interpersonal relationships go, and you can start to develop a communication style, any type of relationship is fine. If you have two consenting adults that know where they stand on each page. And that's why every relationship expert comes back down to that one word, communication. So if you can figure out what you want and figure out how to share that with someone else, then you're going to be a lot closer to help defining that diamond in the rough.
All right, man. I'm doing it. I appreciate having you on, man. Dropping all, you know. Yeah. All right. Well, look, hold up, because I got to ask this here because you said that. Okay. So why do you blame Disney?
All right. And let me just throw in here. I am married with two girls, so I do have proof of concept a bit. I'm going to do what's hurt the men and what's hurt the women. Disney has hurt the women for a way in that they have sort of been taught that their prince will come, the perfect 10, and swoop them off of their feet without any work on their behalf. And I'll have like 9.5s that the women have to do a little bit of work. And they're like, I'm not going to do that. It's his job to come over here and do this to me. I'm like, you're also not a perfect 10 anymore. But, and then I've got the guys, and what do the guys see in movies? Huge grand gestures, public proposals, running after airplanes. All of these absolutely ridiculous things that if you did in real life to a woman, she would be mortified and run away. But that's all the information that they're getting in these types. The best movie that gives the most actionable dating advice, and nothing has been done since then, I think, is Hitch. Hitch, at least, you've got some takeaways that can actually improve how you look at dating. Everything else is just blown so far out of proportion that people don't know that this is not the way to act. And so because guys are loath to come to other people, they just think if I do these huge grand gestures that worked in the movies, it'll also work in real life, and not so much.
I heard. Tell the people how they get in touch with you.
All right.
You can check tell out the my people site. How they get in touch with you, man.
Come check out my site, Hunt for Advice. The name works well for marketing, luckily. You can check me out in Clubhouse at Quest for Advice, Instagram at Quest for Advice, Facebook, Hunt Etheridge. I'm all over the place. Google me. I'm the only one of me. So I get like the first three pages of Google, which is great. Feel free to reach out for me. I'm always looking to help people out. And if your situation is not the way you want it to be, then you contact Lewis or myself.
Yes.
2022 is the year of you.
Yes, it is. All right, hon. I appreciate having you on, man. Thanks for coming on.
You got it anytime, man.
Gems for us, man. I appreciate it. 100 We appreciate having Hunt on. We don't have a lot of men on the program, but that's for one reason or another, not because we don't want to have the men on. It's just a little bit more challenging to get men to come on the program. So we appreciate Hunt coming on. And it was definitely an informative conversation with Hunt and I. Once again, as always, follow me on Instagram at Lewis_Morris_coaching for daily relationship tips and advice. We're always trying to help the singles and couples navigate the relationship realm with spirituality, love, intimacy, and trust. So please follow me on Instagram at Lewis_Morris_coaching. For daily relationship tips and advice. Also, The Patterns of the Power Couple is available in paperback and in audio. If you are interested in getting The Patterns of the Power Couple, you can get it in paperback and in audio. You can get that by get both by going to my link tree, which is linktr.ee/LewisMorris for The Patterns of the Power Couple. Also visit the website. The website is the mall with all of the stores in it. You can get the free giveaways, the apparel from Amazon. You can get the books are available there as well. All of the coaching programs are available at lewismorriscoaching.com. That's LewisMorrisCoaching.com. DM me or schedule a call if you want to get in touch for any advice and the like. I appreciate all of you guys' support, and I will speak to you again soon.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Heart Matters Podcast. For relationship, spiritual, coaching, and resources, go to the Heart Matters brand link tree, which is linktr.ee/LewisMorris. That's linktr.ee/LewisMorris. And we will see you again soon.